patient and not lazy. Amen. So that you can set your mind in that direction. So when you pay careful attention, when you are industrious, on an unremitting application, persistent endeavor, your time does diligence. Hallelujah. Welcome. I'm happy to see you. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. But there's a lot in the definition of diligence. But it's, to some people, they will simply take it as hard work. But it may not necessarily be hard work. Hallelujah. That's, I just read that it says about something about a careful attention and unremitting application. So it's not everybody that you see that is doing hard work or is hard working that is diligent. Okay? So diligence persists over time. It says an unremitting application is a continuum, if I can use that word. Okay? We can decide to give ourselves tasks right now. And somebody works out at it. It doesn't make the person diligent. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. So diligence is graduated over time. It's just like when you are talking about drifting or when you shift your drift. It's a gradual thing, but it's continuous. And you're drifting away from object of focus, and then that's how distraction or you miss your way. Okay. So for a diligent person, it says here that is industrious, is conscientious, thorough, not idle, not negligent, and not lazy. So if somebody is diligent, that person, hard work will not be far away from that person. Okay? But somebody that works hard does not necessarily have to be diligent. Two very different things. Hallelujah. But it is encouraged that we'll be diligent. Bible talks about the fact that you see a diligent man, you stand before kings and not mere men. Hallelujah. Amen. And a diligent man will make every effort to follow through on everything he starts or he lays his hand upon to do. Amen. So he keeps at it day in, day out. He will make every effort to keep at it. If it's cold, you can switch off this thing. So, and more often than not, it takes a lot of self-discipline for you to be diligent. Okay? So, a diligent person doesn't need supervision. He doesn't. You give him an assignment or a task, and you are sure that he will do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Whether you are there or not. Some will call it loyalty. But his loyalty came out of the fact that he's diligent to what he's doing. Because he says in that definition I read to you that if he will see that whatever he has laid his hand upon, he sees it through. Amen. He's not going to leave it halfway. And he's not going to throw his hands in the air and say, this is not working. It's just part of him. Amen. And it did not become part of him because it's part of him. It became part of him because over time, he had cultivated that habit of being industrious. Amen. I've said that it takes self-discipline. It requires self-discipline for you to be diligent. And if you have that discipline, most likely you're going to have a goal and a vision of what is to be accomplished by your efforts. Amen. Habakkuk chapter 2. And verse 2. Since then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. I read it again from verse 2. Write the vision. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Hallelujah. Amen. So if a diligent man works with vision, he understands that this vision that he has an end. Amen. But this vision he's working with has an end. And he keeps at it because that end is in his mind. Amen. That's the end that is in his mind, not where he is. Oftentimes, a lot of people give up because you cannot put a picture to what you are doing. Or they can't put a picture to what they are doing. Okay? So how do you put a picture to it? You decide. What do we decide now? What kind of thing, project can we embark on? Okay, for instance, when I was growing up, I loved music. I would try to play the keyboard. Unfortunately, I can't play it now. It's so sad. I'll try. But I didn't have that vision at the end. So it was purely for us to go to the music room, get 8 over 10, 9 over 10, okay, and depart. That was all. So when they tell you strike the C, whatever, you strike it for the sake of striking it. Now, some other people, before they started that class, they looked at it and said, I want to be a pianist. Okay? That's the vision. My own vision was to make sure that I don't fail. So I was not going to commit anything to memory or to mind, per se, except for the purpose of learning it and reproducing it and going. Okay? The only instrument that I learned then with all passion was the recorder. And up to today, if you hand me a recorder, I'll play for you my notes. I will tell you all the notes from beginning to the end. And I'll play all those rhymes that they taught me. I'll play them. Amen. But I couldn't just marry the fact that I have to press a white key and a black key. You know, that was difficult. And I didn't just have any vision of combining those keys. And they will tell you about Mozart. They will tell you about Handel. And then they say, the set man was even trying to remind you on Sunday. And he said, crescendo, morendo. Oh, God. It's not part of music. It is. It's MR. When you go to the inbooks, you see CR, you see MR, you see M, go and check it. Amen. Hallelujah. But the vision that you have or you carry makes you follow through or keeps you working at whatever thing you are doing. No vision and everything dies off. Hallelujah. So, when we were going to leave Francis Secondary School, my sister left secondary school before me. Okay? I think we both learned to drive about the same time. Same time, not even about, the same time. The same day we went for our driving test, the same day we got our driver's license. My sister never drove until she got married. And that was probably 10 years after. After that, learning to drive. That was, our vision was to get that license. And once you attained that vision, that was the end. My own was that I was going to I was going to shift a car around town. Anyhow and anyhow, I move about. Okay? So when we got to the point of, okay, we have a license, I insisted on keep on at driving. Okay? I was diligent about it. Hallelujah. It was on unremitting application of the knowledge that I've gained. Okay? And I kept applying it day in, day out. So much that one, at a particular point in time, they just handed me the key to the car. Anytime anybody wanted to go anywhere, they said, "Mwima, oh yeah, carry." Amen. The one I didn't like most was when my father died. So everybody that came to visit, "Oh yeah, Mwima, Bede Junction." Oh, so this one now. So when somebody comes to visit us, it will not be my responsibility. But you know, this life is wicked. It's my father that died, though. It's not me that would, it's not me that will take them back to the doctor. Did I ask them to come? Hallelujah. Amen. But that's, so it's for you to be diligent, okay? You have been propelled by that vision. But you also have to remember one thing, that in as much as we are being propelled by that vision. So you are being propelled by a vision, okay? But in this, our walk with Christ, except you do not understand the vision, that's when you will not be diligent in walking with Christ. Hallelujah. Some people die out, they burn out, some just lose it. Hallelujah. Because they cannot see the bigger picture. He says you write the vision and make it plain. So we are in this world, we are not of this world. That's a fact that everybody knows, should know. We're in this world, we are not of this world. And when it comes to the fact that you are not of this world, it's not that you are not going to be eating or you are not going to be moving around. Hallelujah. But the things that you do are not dictated by the standards of this world. That's what it means. Amen. It's difficult in this country. But that's what it is if you're not of this world. So if you go to an embassy, for instance, once you step into the gates of the embassies, you will see there, you are welcome to so country. That's that country. You are in that country, but you are not of that country. Hallelujah. The laws of that country will apply to you, okay? But there are certain things that will not apply to you because you're not of that country. So you just you say you're not of this world, but we have to go to... Yes, you have to. So when you are in somebody else's territory, everything, when you're in Rome, you behave like Romans. Hallelujah. But it's not everywhere a Roman can enter that you will be able to enter. They'll tell you, this is restricted. So you have to understand the kingdom that you belong to. Hallelujah. And keep at the work of that kingdom that you belong to, even in another kingdom. That's what ambassadors do. Ambassadors are not threatened by the laws of the country in which their embassies, they are not. Because they know that those laws, only a certain portion of it applies to them. Once they move into their embassy, nothing is diplomatic immunity. That's what they call it. Everything about the four walls, if you say, assuming that this compound is an embassy, if you are here, there's nothing. To come into this compound and arrest somebody, it will require authority. And it just stops, nobody just barges in. Hallelujah. We're in this world, we are not of this world. Okay? Let's go to the scriptures so that you don't slip off. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 27. It says, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. But diligence is a man's precious possession. Hallelujah. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. In Proverbs 21, verse 5, the Bible says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. When we read Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, it says that you should write the vision on a tablet and make it plain, and you run with it. Proverbs 21, 5 says, the plans of the diligent surely, they lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. The definitions of plenty, poverty, by the world standards, are not the same definitions by the standards of the Bible. Amen. You and I are both rich. You and I are rich. Every one of us is rich. Why? Because we have exchanged our strength for his, so that through his own poverty we become rich. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that. And when God is dealing with us, God is dealing with us from the end point of a finished product. When Christ was going to give up on the cross, he said it is finished. Amen. So when God is looking down, he's looking at a finished product of Christ. Hallelujah. He's looking from the end point of the matter that was done on the cross of Calvary. When you begin to consider yourself in the context of being in this physical body and being within the circumstances around you, that's where you're going to be comparing with the standards of the world and saying, I don't have money in account. That makes you poor. That's the standard of definition of the world. Amen. I cannot do this. That means I lack. Meanwhile, what God sees is the fullness of Christ in you. Amen. That's why the Bible is saying here, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Because the diligent person has a vision. And what the Bible records is that vision, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will not tarry. He said it will surely come. Give me Habakkuk 2, verse 2. So you can see that when he's talking about the diligence, that his path leads to plenty, he's not talking about the circumstance that the diligent man is in. Because some people say, some people are diligent, they are not making money. That's not it. I started with the fact that when you are diligent, vision is part of your diligence. And vision drives people being diligent. Amen. Hallelujah. I have a colleague. That guy stays alone. No wife, no nothing. Stays alone. Anytime you call him, he's studying. If he's not studying, he has gone out to buy food. By the time you call him again, he's at the stable. Guy, why are you always doing? Say, I have to study because this is not where I want to be. My vision is to be at so point, and I have mapped out these steps. So I have to conscientiously follow that line, pull that line, so that I get to where I'm going. That is an unremitting application of effort to get to the end point. That's his vision. Just yesterday, he was saying, I've not been studying. He was disturbed that he has not been studying with regards to his profession. Hallelujah. If you and I can get uncomfortable that we have not been studying even the scriptures, do you know how much wealth of knowledge you will soak in? And it will be easy for you to apply everything you soak in from the scriptures. The instructions the Bible has given to us. Right? He says, number one, pray without ceasing. If you understand the place of prayer, you'll be diligent in obeying that simple instruction of praying without ceasing. And so when anybody sees you praying, you will be able to tell them that, look, the end point is not where I am. Because people pray into the future. You can pray into the future. You go into the future and you come back. And when you begin to do things, people look at you and say, what's wrong with you? Well, you are not doing that thing from that point where you are. You are doing it because you have been into the future, you are back, and you are taking your physical body there. Amen. When the Bible says that we cannot lie, or we don't have it in us to lie, hallelujah, it's because in the book of Ephesians, it says he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of righteousness. So when our spirit man becomes born again, he sealed us. So when you know a seal, we know what a seal is. A seal is a seal. No, what do you call it? Inlet for air, no nothing. No contamination. It's sealed. That's how your spirit man has been sealed. And that's why your spirit is able to tell you and act as your conscience when your body is doing what is wrong. You know, when you are not doing what is right, you know within yourself that is not right. You know. Except you want to lie to yourself. But you know. And why do you know? It's because your spirit has become incorruptible. Because it has been fused with the Spirit of Christ. And that's why the Bible says, he sealed us with the Holy Spirit of righteousness. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1, verse 13. It says, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. That's how you were sealed. So having believed, once you came in contact with the incorruptible, you were sealed. Man is body made up of body, soul, and spirit. So you believe, okay, your spirit becomes born again, and it got sealed. That's why you're able to say we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's where that's how we have the confidence. Because it's our spirit that is engaging with God, who is a spirit, to go into the presence of God and speak with him. Because it's a seal, no leakage. So when the Bible talks about, let's go back to, which one were you looking at? Okay, Habakkuk 2, that's what I said you should open. So Habakkuk 2:2 says that, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that it may run who reads it. Hallelujah. You have that responsibility to make your vision, write it down, and always revisit it. So am I in line? I revisit. Am I in line? I revisit. Next. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. This speaks to Proverbs 21, verse 5, that talks about your diligence that leads to plenty. Because at the end, this vision will speak. Amen. And I said, God deals with you from the end point. Hallelujah. He says that we are the healed of the Lord. And the devil is trying to make you sick. That's it. So when people are not feeling fine. They keep saying, I'm sick. But what the Bible records, it says, by stripes we are healed. So we are healed, it's not we are going to be healed. It's a finished work. We are healed. If right now, because the physical body is a work in progress, and you are feeling a bit down, it's not that you are not healed. Hallelujah. Is the devil trying to make you feel that you are sick? Because the finished you is the healed version. Hallelujah. And that's why we say that because we have exchanged our strength for his, and the very life of God flows on the inside of us. Amen. And that is why you have to diligently follow through on the things of the scripture so that that end point where God sees you from is the way you see yourself. And that's why people in the face of problem, in the face of tribulation, they remain immovable or unmoved because what they are seeing is not what you are seeing. They are seeing themselves from the end point where they ought to be and where God sees you from. He says, he has set you far above principalities and powers. Abi, if you don't see yourself above principalities and powers, when they come, what will happen? You will crumble. Proverbs 13, verse 4. It says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 22:29, it says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mean men. Diligence was what made Joseph stand out and Potiphar could notice him. Hallelujah. He was diligent at his work and God was with him. In Genesis 39. Let me take it from verse 1. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with me, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord made all he did. If Joseph were a lazy man, there was nothing that God would work on to make him prosper. If he was sitting idle and was not doing anything, there was nothing that God would work on. So Joseph found favor in his sight, that's verse 4, and served him. Then he made him, he said, Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Okay? Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he did not know what he had except the bread which he ate. Amen. It says he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put in his authority. Verse 4 talked about the fact that Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Amen. Hallelujah. He served him. He worked diligently. God was not with him for the sake of being with him. God was with him because the Bible tells us that is the one that rewards that those that diligently seek him. The Bible also says that seest thou a man that is diligent in his work, he will stand before kings and not mere men. No wonder Joseph ended up before the king. Hallelujah. Because he was diligent. Even when he was in prison, he was going about making sure that everybody else was okay. It doesn't happen. Hallelujah. Everybody will mind his business and say, I have my own problem. But he was going about so much so that everybody that was supposed to be in charge of Joseph looked at him and said, this is different. And then they will keep him in charge. So little wonder he ended up before Pharaoh and was able to interpret dream because of his diligence. And because of the word of God is true and is consistent, he was diligent, he will stand before kings. When Joseph was going to look for help from mere men, he did not get it. You know, he told the butler, Abi, he's a butler now, that he told that when you get out, go and tell the king about me, rap about me. So he was expectant that in a few days you'll call him. But the Bible records that the butler forgot. Immediately the guy stepped out, he forgot. But the butler forgetting did not stop Joseph to continue in his diligent work. Hallelujah. So he's scheming. I mean, you go and say, guy, I'm here. When you get out, remember me. Just talk, put in a word for me. Okay? He's scheming. But when God will move on his behalf, because his end point is where God has been dealing with him all the while. His end point is for him to stand before kings. Hallelujah. And then suddenly from nowhere, the butler remembered and said, I have sinned. And told Pharaoh about Joseph. You know, if the butler had come out, I went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh that, look, there's a guy there that can interpret dreams, blah, blah, blah. He told me this. It would have been of no effect. Because at that point, Pharaoh had no need for someone that interprets a dream. Hallelujah. But it's diligence that will make Joseph listen to somebody's dream and then interpret it. Because he has that spiritual advantage over them all. Then he will interpret it and talk to them. But in that diligence of being spiritual and keeping in tune with God was what brought him out of prison. Amen. Because what brought him out of prison was Pharaoh had a dream and he was looking for somebody to interpret. And suddenly somebody remembered that there's a man in there. If his circumstances and conditions have stopped him from his diligent work with God, rubbing minds with God and getting to the point of understanding the ways of God, then he would not have been called out. He would not have had the opportunity to interpret for the butler or him coming out and telling Pharaoh and being spot on. And when he did interpret, Pharaoh said, no other person can have the wisdom except you. Amen. Hallelujah. Why we cannot detach diligence from spiritual work? Romans 12. Give me Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor. With brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. See what Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 9 says. So we'll come back to this. We'll come back to Romans 12. See what Romans 6, verses 6 to 9 says. It says, go to the earth, you sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. Which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? So he's saying, go and learn from the ant. Okay? He gathers his food, he provides our supplies in summer, and gathers our food in the harvest. So the ant is very sharp. He looks at the end from the beginning. And so when there's summer, he gathers supplies. Abi, is it supplies that you said? Proverbs 6, verse 6. Yeah. It says, provides our supplies in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. You know why? Because after summer, winter will come. There will be nothing to gather. So what the ant is doing is simply being diligent and looking at it, having a vision and walking towards it. Look, there's plenty now. Let us store. And it consistently keeps doing that. And he will not give up because he's gathering his supplies. But the sluggard will do what? He says, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? The sluggard has no vision, does not understand that there's a tomorrow, and has no business being diligent in gathering supplies for tomorrow. Amen. So, in Romans 12, it says that Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. Hallelujah. So you cannot be, diligence cannot be far away from you. Diligence, whether you are serving in the house of God or you are applying it to your life or your own personal study, which is very critical. Your personal walk with God is very critical. You cannot afford to lag in diligence. Amen. If diligence was not important, then the Bible would not be talking about it. Finally, Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 9. I'm going to read two versions. I'll first take the NKJV. It says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, these things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your labor, your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I've told you that diligence is stepwise progress. Hallelujah. Is stepwise progress. It says, those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. But you know what? He said that you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. So there's a tendency for you to want to become sluggish when you follow the path of diligence. Hallelujah. The TPT. Let me read the same thing for you in TPT. It says, even though we speak like this, beloved, we are fully convinced that there are more beautiful and excellent things which flow from your salvation. For God, the faithful one, is not unfair. How can he forget the beautiful work you have done for him? He remembers the love you demonstrate as you continually serve his beloved ones for the glory of his name. But we long to see you passionately advance until the end, and you will find your hope fulfilled. The KJV talks about diligence assurance, right? This one talks about the fact that you passionately advance until the end and you find your hope fulfilled. So do not allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the examples of those who fully receive what God had promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. Amen. Hallelujah. Two things stand out. Passionately advance until the end, and you find your hope fulfilled. Amen. A diligent walk ends up in plenty. That's what the Proverbs said. I think Proverbs 21 verse 5 says diligence ends up, will lead to plenty. And now he's saying here in Romans, Hebrews chapter 6, he's saying here that so that you do not, but we long to see you passionately advance until the end and you find your hope fulfilled. Your passionate advance, your unremitting application of energy towards spiritual things will end up in your hope being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Amen. You cannot walk the surface of the earth without being diligent in spiritual matters. Romans 12. Verses 10 to 11. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. Hallelujah. So you cannot disconnect the three. You're not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. You cannot serve God without being diligent. Hallelujah. You cannot be fervent in spirit without being diligent. Amen. Hallelujah. And so if you say you're serving God, there has to be that iota of diligence in what you're doing. Because it takes no cognizance of what is happening. Diligence drives you to the end point, but your vision is. Amen. That fulfillment that comes at the end of it, that's what diligence helps you to achieve. It says where's the word again now, Seth? Passionately advance until that hope is fulfilled. I implore us this evening that if you are not diligent in anything, please get up and be diligent, especially when it comes to serving God and being fervent in spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So that if at all you have not designed a vision for yourself, no problem. You cannot be outside God. When you are fervent in spirit and serving God, that it automatically is like a package. So you know when you buy different packages, when you go and buy combo, you know what do people buy? When you go to Chicken Republic or whatever, and then you buy combo, you know what it contains. Abi? So that if they don't supply you with Coke, he said, but what I bought has the package of where there should be cooking this thing I bought, Abby. I think, so there was a time I traveled and I went to a restaurant and I paid. Now, I did not know that what I paid for was actually that sit down, eat, and then you take your cup and go to the dispenser and drink. If you like, go to that dispenser 10 times. It's already paid for. It's part of what you paid for. So what I did was I just went, took the cup of drink, put it on the table, and ate with what I... But I saw people, they kept going, and there was nobody to ask. And I didn't want anybody to embarrass me. You understand? So I just kept with my cup like this. You sip small. So you finish it before you finish. But apparently, you take it and you go. See, when I got the understanding that this comes with this, But next time I go there, let me know. I'll first of all take orange, finish, go back, Coke, finish, go back, Sprite. Nobody's going to harass you. This package, when you are fervent in spirit and serving the Lord, every other thing that surrounds you is added in that package. What most of us usually do is that we look for every other thing and say, after that, I will serve God. It's not going to work. It never works that way. Amen. I also went to a restaurant. You pay and you enter. You pay. Then I think it was $10. When you pay, you enter, you eat. Anything you eat is $10. You understand? Until you step out before your money expires. So when you step out, and you want to come in again, you have to pay another $10. So imagine that you step in at 8 o'clock and you sit down. Till 6 p.m., I'm not kidding. Till 6 p.m., whatever you eat, that $10 has covered it. Immediately you step out, it has canceled it. You know, but you cannot go and see, because they are disciplined, you cannot go and sit down there from morning to night and say, this $10, so I will eat breakfast, I will eat lunch, Abby. But the idea was to be sure that everybody has enough with the little he has. Okay? The package that God has given to us, that we serve him diligently, there is nothing outside that package that you want that you will not get. That package contains everything. Hallelujah. So some people will tell you, and it's a lie of the devil, that not everything is not prayer. Everything starts with prayer and working with God. If you want an idea, sit down with the idea. If God is not in that idea, it's not going to see the light of day. Now, the light of day is not that I want to open a shop. Because someone says it's not true. Some people say, I want to open it, but I opened the shop. It's just that I did not sell. The light of day is that shop should make profit. That's the essence of everything. So if you say, but I opened a shop, I didn't have to ask God before I opened the shop. Oh, you open the shop is not the end point. The end point is that when you open it, you do business and you make profit. That's the end point. Once that profit is not in it, okay, there's a problem. So oftentimes people start on this kind of journeys and say, not everything is prayer. You have to think, have ideas. It's only God-given ideas that see the light of day. The light of day is the end of the matter. Hallelujah. Not the beginning. So, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, that's for another day. And serving God is the best package that you can give yourself. You're not giving God. You're doing it for yourself. Because God sees you from the finish point. So, for instance, when a prince is born, a royal, whatever, if any child is born into the royal family, when he's born, let's assume that he's the first born son or whatever, or the prince. When he's born, the whole community is not seeing a baby. You know what they're seeing? They're seeing the king in future. That's what they're seeing. So everything they are doing for or to is as though they are doing it to the king. I'm not doing it to a baby. And so when God is dealing with us, that's how he's dealing with us. He says we are priests and kings. That's how he's dealing with us. He's dealing with us from that end point. Now, it is now left for that one that they are dealing with to put himself in that position of being a king. Hallelujah. And comporting himself exactly as the king does. So if the king, the boy king or whatever, that everybody is honoring, does not honor himself or do what he's supposed to do, does it make him less a king? No. But he will always be where he has put himself. That's what many people they are doing to themselves in the work with God. God is seeing a finished product, the one that Christ has saved and redeemed. Hallelujah. And yet some people are seeing themselves as what? The condemned. Amen. And then they are related to God as though they are condemned. But what God is seeing, okay, is the redeemed by the blood of Christ. And until we begin to see ourselves the way God sees us, we will not be living full life or life to its fullest. When those Israelites went, they said, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes. Abi? Meanwhile, the other ones were scared of them. Is that not a problem? Do not devalue yourself. When I say devalue, with respect to the value that God has placed on you. Amen. So keep at being diligent. Study, the Bible says you study to show yourself approved, right? You have to do this thing diligently. Blow hot today, blow hot tomorrow, blow cold tomorrow. It's not going to work. And it has never worked. And God deals with everybody differently. Everybody needs to understand where, what is, what do you call it? Everybody needs to understand how God deals with him. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was very uncomfortable in the spirit. And the spirit kept tapping me, pray. What are we? Pray. Oh, pray. Hallelujah. And I knew that what the spirit was doing will only do it when there's something that I need that will come suddenly to me and I must do it. So I was like, don't let anything come suddenly. He said, it's not about you saying, don't let anything come suddenly. Get up. Pray. So I got up and I prayed. I prayed for a few minutes and I went back. And then when today started, he said, you have not prayed. That's what he said. I've not prayed. But I tried now. I said, no, I've not prayed. So I took time off to pray. Whatever I've prayed for in the spirit is a done deal. You have to be diligent. Don't be diligent with earthly things and leave the diligence or the fervency of the spirit lagging in diligence. Don't. The result will be counterproductive. If you can afford to buy things for yourself, which is not the end point. Okay? So when you are able to buy things for yourself, it's not the end point. The end point is that when you walk, you have enough to eat and to do what? And to give for everybody. And this is going to be diligence. Don't give up when you are diligent. And you think that you are not seeing results. Hear my sentence very well. Don't give up when you are diligent and you think that you are not seeing results. Because we read Habakkuk 2:2. It says, wait for it. It will not tarry. Doing this thing, year in, year out, nothing. No. You are going to discourage yourself. The Bible says, seest thou a man diligent in his works? It didn't say, seest thou a man that is getting results at every point in time. Diligence is an unremitting application and a passionate what? I've forgotten that word. Come again. Which one should I come again? I said diligence is an unremitting application. So you are applying yourself to a particular vision. It's unremitting, it's unrelenting. Okay? So if you see, I think the story of the light bulb, I don't know, they said the person that Thomas Edison, he said he had 999. Then the 1,000th one was the successful one. He was diligent about it. Because his end, what he was seeing at the end, was a light bulb. And so for every pitfall, he says, no, that means I've not gotten how to do it. And he kept at it until the 1,000th one. And then we have the light bulb. And everybody is now making money designing a light bulb that somebody did 999 times and did not give up. It's because it was a vision-driven goal. And we have read it in the scriptures. The Lord says, write that vision on a tablet. And it looks like a sinusoidal wave. You know a sinusoidal wave? It's like this. When it looks like a sinusoidal wave, he says, don't relent. Because at the end, it will speak for itself. It will surely come. But when you keep throwing your hands in the air, you know what happens when you throw your hand in the air? You will keep starting all over again. That's what happens. When you throw your hands in the air and walk away from it, you still come back and start all over again. But when you are doing it and it doesn't work and you continue, you are gaining ground. So if only you can just see yourself, a video of yourself as you are doing things diligently and as you are adding to yourself, you will be encouraged. And that's what I'm telling you. So if you see a video of yourself as you're doing things and you're leaving it and going back, leaving it and going back, you'll be like, this should not be. Amen. Diligent people don't give up. They don't. Let's rise on our feet.